Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
So you have a book out called Brewing Eclectic IPA, Pushing the Boundaries of India Pale Ale. Tell us a little bit about this work.
Well, IPA is a bold style. It's always been sort of a show-off style for brewers and, you know, something for beer drinkers to seize on to sort of show how tough they are and how you know, the strong flavors that they can enjoy. And over the past few decades, there have been a number of really fruity hop varieties that have come into general use. And it's not that much of a leap for people to sort of say, well, gee, this hop reminds me of grapefruit. I think I'll put actual grapefruit in this beer. So that's what this book is sort of doing, is elaborating on some of those flavors that are suggested by hops or that you can use in counterpoint with some of these other ingredients to make a whole new, interesting array of beers.
What is an IPA? What sets it apart from an American pale ale or just a pale ale? What makes an IPA an IPA?
Well, it's mostly alcoholic strength and bold hoppiness. And this comes from, I mean, there's some disagreement about the story, but it comes from the 18th and 19th centuries when British brewers, particularly in Yorkshire, were producing strong pale ales with a lot of hops in them in order to be able to survive the long sea voyage to India. So that's where it gets its name, is India Pale Ale. But they're very hoppy and they're very strong alcoholically because both of those components are natural preservatives.
What are some of the interesting flavors? You mentioned that earlier, that people are putting different flavors in there, and we see all kinds of different types of IPAs. What are some of the more unique flavors that you've come across?
Well, I have about 25 recipes in the book, and we had an event at my brewery in San Francisco, Magnolia, last week where we brewed five of them. So we had a guava habanero IPA, we had a cucumber Meyer lemon IPA, a rosemary IPA, and a cranberry one. So that's just a little bit of an idea. But we also treat, some of the recipes in the book also treat wood treatments, you know, like IPA aged in wooden barrels or sour ones, that kind of thing. So really just about any ingredient that seems to correspond to hops or act in concert with them, I think, is fair game.
Visiting with brewer Dick Cantwell, and beer drinking, I mean, it used to be when you went into the store, you went in, you got your Bud Light and whatever and walked out. Now, I mean, it can take you a long time to pick out a beer because there are so many available at so many stores. How are these preferences really changing among the beer aficionados? People go from stouts to IPAs, or, you know, how is that evolving?
Well, the way it's evolved with the proliferation of new beers and new breweries, I mean, we've gone from about 40 breweries in this country back in the 80s up to over 6,500. I think the way it's evolved is what people want beyond even a single style or a single preference is variety. People want what's new, and they're willing to rove all over the place trying to find that, whether it's at a tap house or at the shelves in the supermarket. They want something they haven't had before.
What do you think spawned that? Was it, I know in St. Louis, when Anheuser-Busch was bought by InBev and then a lot of people lost their jobs, they started their own breweries, and that kind of got St. Louis brewing all over town. What kind of spawned this around the country?
Well, I think that's a very good illustration, what you're talking about right there. But I just think a lot of people, you know, it's a hobbyist dream, really. I mean, there are so many different angles that contribute to the skills of a brewer. You know, you can be a scientist-type brewer. You can be an artist-type brewer. You can be a brewer who's interested in history and wants to pull things out from there and take things to the next step. It's just really exciting to be able to be, the small kind of entrepreneurial business that a brewer is, and for people to know who makes their beer and to be able to get it locally. There are just a lot of facets to it that make it pretty fascinating.
And I keep hearing stories that, you know, craft beer has reached its peak. We don't have any room for more breweries, and it's kind of, we're there. Are we, or is it going to continue to grow and expand?
They've been saying that for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
The craft brewing was at its peak. I don't think there's any question that there is some kind of elastic limit. And I think some of the breweries that we're seeing starting up will go out of business. Not all of them will make it, but I just think that's the nature of any sort of business boom. There certainly will be more breweries. I think, you know, as long as people are realistic about the size that they can grow to and all that stuff, there's the possibility for more of them to pop up. But I don't believe for a second that it's over or that it's even on the wane.
Well, I think as long as you and I have anything to say about it, I think it'll continue growing. What about if we want to brew our own beer? How difficult is that to do?
It's very easy to get started. I mean, you can start with malt extract and other things that help you take shortcuts, and you can reduce your brew day to just a couple of hours as opposed to all day if you start from scratch. But, you know, you also have to have a couple of key things under control, like cleanliness and all that kind of stuff. If you don't pay attention to that, you're not going to make good beer. But it's very easy to get started, and it's also very easy to get sort of bitten by the bug that changes your life, like it did with me.
And the book is Brewing Eclectic IPA, Pushing the Boundaries of India Pale Ale. The author, Dick Cantwell, award-winning brewer. And, Dick, thank you very much for joining me this morning. I'm counting down till 5 o'clock.
Thank you.
Dick Cantwell on KMOX coming up next on Total Information AM, the news.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.